And welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 44th episode of The Hoosier Sound, where our show has one main goal, to give you our perspective of IU sports from the point of view as a student or young adult. In addition, we will also give our view on hot takes from around the world of sports. We are recording this edition on Sunday afternoon, July 8th, where I am your host, Noah Freeman, and I am with my usual co-host, Matthew Lukens. For this episode, we are recording it a little early just because with the summer, getting Matt and I schedules coordinated every single week is a little hard with summer breaks and everything. So we are just recording this one a little early. And yes, there are going to be a couple things that happen before our normal posting on Tuesday evening, but we will be posting this Tuesday evening. So all of you will be hearing this Tuesday evening, Wednesday, or later, but we are just posting this Sunday afternoon. Normally, we'll be going live every Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m., but if you miss us live, you can subscribe to various networks so you can listen on your own time. Check out our Twitter and Facebook at The Hoosier Sound and subscribe. All of our information is in our website, thehoosiersound.com. All right, Hoosier Nation, it is time for some sports talk, but first, Matt, what is your memorable monologue for this week in IU sports?
Sure. So, obviously, this weekend, DJ Carton's coming out with his final three. Of course, pivotal recruit for the class of 2019. And the fact that you're assumed to be in the final three, nothing set in stone yet, but he did take an official visit to us and posted some photos and got a gazillion likes on Twitter. So I would assume that we're going to be in the final three, which is good news because he's cutting it from six three, which means that we're closer to a commitment than we were previously, and our chances are slightly higher. And then maybe 24/7 will actually fix their crystal ball.
But yeah, exactly. Remember, we are recording this on Sunday afternoon when he's supposed to be posting this Sunday evening, so we don't officially know if he's cut it down. But I would be surprised if IU wasn't in the top three at least. Even if he narrowed it down to two people, I'd be surprised, but not shocked. But I definitely think he'll be in the top three.
I feel like he wouldn't waste he only gets five official visits. I feel like He wouldn't waste an official visit on us if he wasn't going to put us in his final three. Yeah, like, that's what you got to know about these prospects. If they take an official visit to us, we're at least in the top five. So,
he's got the visit. Hopefully, he'll narrow it down. And also, people did think that there's a chance that he could commit or should have already committed. Basically, some people thought after Michigan and IU, those visits, that he would commit. So that just shows that he's not ready to commit also, that we have a little bit longer, but he is narrowing it down. So we're closer, but we still have longer. So that's a positive sign, at least in just getting his general perspective where he might.
Yeah, and he is the most pivotal of the recruits because he is the one who's supposed to commit first. And basically, if he were to commit, he'd get the ball rolling. So this is a pretty big deal if he were to commit, because obviously he's really close friends with Trace Jackson Davis. And adding him to that class, along with the fact that he already has a strong relationship with the coaching staff, I'd probably venture to say that he would be a lock. So then that's two five-star recruits. And then Keon and Trace they haven't talked about playing together. But I'd be surprised if they haven't talked about playing together, especially since they're getting recruited by all the same schools. So I could very well see DJ being the start of a three-man, five-star class, definitely. But again, that's me saying if we get him, and then that's if that happens, then maybe this other stuff. So it's recruiting's just a bunch of, hypotheses hopefully coming true, but I can't say for sure that it's going to go one way or the other.
Yeah, and hopefully next week we are going to hold off on giving our topic for next week, maybe up until the very last minute, basically, because the recruiting period, the first main recruiting period, they've already had some, but this is the first big one that you'll see a lot of recruits start going places. If you remember, I tweeted the Indiana recruits last year when they all committed. And that was when we got the flurry of, what was it, 3 commits in 2 days or something like that. This was this recruiting period that's coming up in early July. So hopefully maybe we'll have a recruit or two. I was thinking optimistically, but maybe we'll have a recruit next week to talk about. So hopefully that is a teaser for next week's episode.
Yeah, it wasn't it Demezi, Jerome, and Rob all committed within like 2 days of each other?
Something like that, yeah. I have it tweeted. I should pin that instead of the other thing I have pinned.
Because I remember I'm on vacation in St. Augustine, and my phone like blows up. I'm like, oh, we got a 4-star commit. I was like, all right, solid. And then 3 hours later, we got another one. I was like, great. And then like the next morning, another one came out. I was like, what is going on? I didn't know we had this many scholarships open. So hopefully it's like that this year. That would be – I like to get the recruiting out of the way early and then just go for our big guy like Romeo. I think that's the best strategy. But, I mean, hey.
Yeah, it worked. And but I also do want to talk about – I'm going to try and find this. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so we had last year on July 16th, that was Race was the first commit. And technically he was a commitment, even though he did reclassify, he still counts because he started the ball rolling and stuff. Then we had the next day we had Jerome Hunter on the 17th and Demezi Anderson on the 17th. So that is when we have, and the next, it'll be July 11th is the first day of the new recruiting period. So fingers crossed, maybe next week we'll be talking about a recruit, or even maybe we'll just update you with how the recruiting with this recruiting thing went. But I wanted to also mention the summer league stuff, because we're in the middle of that. There is a lot of games today on Sunday. So again, we apologize that we can't get this into the stats, but I wanted to give just a quick update with how everyone's doing. So far, Rojo, summer league is weird. We would be explaining it for a long time, but some teams play more games than others in different locations. But long story short, Robert Johnson has already played 4 games. Or the Hawks, his team has played 4 games. He played in the first 3 and not the last one. He's played a total of 25 minutes, gotten 7 points, a couple highlight plays, hasn't been able to see the floor too much. Thomas Bryant, after getting signed by the Wizards, they've only had 1 game, but he played 27 minutes, which was tied for the most or just under Troy Brown Jr., which was obviously their first round pick. But he got 7 points. He's looking really good and looking poised at least to hopefully make the Wizards team. Troy Williams is going to be on the Knicks, but he's already played 1 game. He played for 16 minutes. He got 17 points. So really strong outing from him. OG.
Yeah. Troy Williams, I was watching him last night. Standout player from that game. Well, Kevin Knox was the standout player. Other than that, everybody was really excited about Troy Williams. So, I mean, that's a good list to be on, especially for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. And then we got OG, who is the clear star for the Raptors Summer League. He played 27 minutes, which was the most by anyone. He got 9 points in that game. Again, you can see how Rojo's already played 4 games. Some people have already played 1. It's weird, but that's so far the update. James Blackman Jr. played 1 game, 17 minutes, 2 points. And then we got Christian Wofford, sadly, who's played 3 games and hasn't seen 1 minute yet.
I hope he gets to play, because that'll be fun to see. I don't expect him to make the Grizzlies, but I feel like there's a place on a G League team for him somewhere.
Yeah.
You could definitely always go over to Europe again, because, I mean, there's plenty of people looking for great basketball players, and Christian Wofford's a great basketball player.
I agree. But let's get into the main topic of our episode. So this show, we're basically going to talk about a lot of Indiana football on today's episode. IU football, it's improving, right? You would say that we're on the up and up?
Yeah, we are on the up and up. I believe that I will definitely make a bowl game this year, in my opinion. And but this is a really good stretch for IU football, because that would have been 3 bowl games in 4 years. And
yeah, you know. But the big question is, how can they get noticed if they're in a division where 4 of the 6 other teams are Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State? Today, Basically, we're going to be discussing what Indiana can do to start to get noticed around the league a little more, because even if they make bowl games and have consecutive seasons where they make bowl games, no one's going to look at IU football at all. And then basically, we're going to have some fun redoing the divisions to where maybe we can make the playing field a little more even, so we can see how IU might be able to fare up at least yearly with some of these teams, instead of basically having three or four automatic losses on their record already, which puts them but behind the curveball when trying to get to a bowl game. But let's start out by talking about what IU football specifically can do, because obviously when we have fun talking about redoing the divisions, that's not going to happen. But what can IU football, what are some of the things that you think, Matt, IU football can do to start getting noticed as they start improving?
Well, sure. Obviously, I think the first and most obvious answer to this is get big wins. Whether it's beating Ohio State or beating Michigan or beating Michigan State again or beating Penn State. Like, these are the four big schools that we play. They're the blue bloods of college football. You know, they're some of the biggest fan bases. They get the most views on ESPN or Fox or wherever they're playing on Saturdays. If we can beat one of those teams in a prime time game, that'll go a very, very long way into improving the stock for IU football, because we've been downtrodden for a very long time. I don't think we've beaten Michigan in like 90 something years. And then also Ohio State, we give them a good game, but we never quite win the game. So one of these times, just finish the game with a W, and that'll change probably IU football for at least the near future.
Because I don't remember, we should have counted the amount of games that IU football has been in prime time in the big light, sometime even at night, and they just lost. They even in a lot of these games, and they just lost these big marquee wins. But I do want to say that was the first thing I was talking about too. I think IU just needs to finally get over that hump and stop losing at the last minute to some of these big time opponents. And get a win, because this year we've got two games in a row where we're on ABC and ESPN. So hopefully we can at least get one of those wins this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think something else that I also get us interested in, and it's kind of off the beaten path of ideas, and maybe this isn't the first thing that will come into your mind when you're thinking about improving IU football, but allowing beer sales in the stadium. And you go, what does that have to do with IU football getting noticed? And here's my first point, which is that people go to the football games, but they don't stay for the whole game, right? You're there for the first half, then half the student section is there for the second half. And that's because, well, to be frank, the students only care about getting drunk and going to the tailgates, and the fact that they have football tickets is so that they have basketball tickets, so that they go anyways because they have them and they might as well use them. But we're down by 7 at half and nobody has any hope whatsoever in IU football, so they all leave. So how do we get the students to stay? Well, if they want to go drink somewhere, you might as well let them drink in the stadium, because they're going to drink anyways, and they sneak alcohol in anyways. And I know this is kind of, why would you even allow, it's going to get too, it's going to be a frenzy and they're going to get too rowdy. But that's the point. We don't have a home field advantage. When half the stadium leaves at halftime, and people are like, it's too hot, I don't want to be here. And, we have half a stadium. That's how we allow Rutgers to come back from 30 on us in the fourth quarter. We have nobody watching. Nobody's there. Nobody actually cares. We got to get people to actually stay and care. Purdue did it. And Purdue has, one of the loudest stadiums now, because everybody's drunk, which makes you a louder person because you can't really tell how loud you're being. And it gives you a home field advantage. And I think the first way into helping us get one of those big wins is actually maintaining a home field advantage. And I think selling beer in the stadium would be an excellent way to kind of provoke people into being a little bit rowdier at football games.
Wasn't there a coach recently that actually asked for beer sales to come into effect during IU football games?
I think that coach might have been Coach Wilson or somebody. Yep. like like that. Yeah, right. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, it's honestly, it we had a if we get people to stay and be drunk while they're staying and be invested in the game, we have a much better crowd. Like, I've gone to games at Michigan State. I've gone to games at Ohio State. I've gone to games at Michigan. Like, Notre Dame. Do you ever watch a Notre Dame game? All these schools have home field advantages because the fans actually care, and they're on their feet on second down, and we don't have to provoke them to get off, you know, scream at the loudest, you know, that as they possibly can on third down. Like, it's deafening at the Horseshoe. On second down, not third down. Second down is deafening. Third down's like bone-shakingly loud, you know. And that really helps your defense because offense can't communicate. And you know, that's a home field advantage. We don't have that at IU. Everybody goes, woo, third down, Jaws. Let's go. Let's clap our hands a bit. All right, let's be quiet and focus on the game. No, scream your lungs out. And I think, you know, being slightly inebriated will help people come out of their shell a bit and be more invested in the game.
Now, at least despite all of that, depending on whatever your views are, Matt and I didn't compare notes at all. I just told him to get a few things that how IU football can get noticed. And I didn't talk about alcohol sales, but I just said that people need to come to games, first of all, which basically that was what Matt was saying, at how we could get people to come to games. Because last year there was not one game. It was even Ohio State was the closest we got to a full stadium. And they said we got a sellout crowd. But if you looked at that, that upper basically left-hand corner of the stadium, some of those seats were still a little empty. So it wasn't even completely packed. It was much more packed than we have seen in forever, basically, against that season opener with Ohio State. But there were even no other games, even when we were a few games in, when we had Wisconsin. And Wisconsin was arguably as good as Ohio State was when we played them. And we just had no one at the games. So we got to get people to start coming to the games. That's one of the ways that Matt said that people would come. As sad as it should be, you shouldn't have to be able to sell beer for students to come to games, but that's where we are, at least as of right now. And the other point to help, Matt was talking about getting loud. We have at least taken one step towards that direction, which is going to help. And we just closed the end zone of the stadium, which will help because now the sound can bounce off in more places. And obviously it doesn't go out with that part. So hopefully the stadium's automatically going to be a little louder next year since we just finished closing in the end zone.
I mean, yes, I agree. But I feel like if we lose half the people at halftime, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. I just mean it for the people that are there at the moment. At least that'll help a little bit.
I know. And then on top of that, you know, besides beer sales, the culture needs to change at IU. We can't have people be like, we're just a basketball school, because we are just a basketball school at this point. But, you know, if we want to become a football school, we have to actually start caring about football and getting people to actually care about football. You know, we do, obviously, because we're talking about it and talking about how to improve it. But there's plenty of people listening to this podcast like, just get to the basketball part, please. Can you just talk about basketball? Which is fine, right? Because I love basketball. I love college basketball. College basketball is my favorite sport. But college football matters, okay? College football lives matter. You understand that? You know, people actually care about the sport at IU, and I know that's rare because more people care about the tailgating than they do about the football game. But we needed to make people caring about the football team more common than it is now. And once that happens, then everything else changes, because then there's actually a fan culture. You know, you go to Purdue and they have traditions, and Purdue's a crappy school, and they still have plenty. They still have plenty of awesome, cool football traditions. Like, gee, I wish IU had something like that. We don't. We have Hep's Rock, but I bet half of you don't even know why Hep's Rock is there or even what it is. So, you know, I just wish IU, you know, cared about football.
Yeah, I agree. I think the culture does need to change a little more, and it starts with the students. Because the students, that's when the students start caring more. And then as they grow older, they'll start coming to the games on the other side of the stadium. Because if you look on the other side of the stadium, there are a lot of games where the adults aren't even showing out. It even happens at basketball games too. I know a lot of people, and as they should, get to talk about the students, how they won't show up, but it's not just them too. The adults sometimes aren't filling up their side of the stadium as well, and tickets just need to be sold. And part of that also comes with having a winning record in consecutive years, not just 500, not just going 6-6, but having a winning record in consecutive years, going to a bowl game in consecutive years. And I think at least hopefully Tom Allen is going to start getting to having 6-6 seasons, 7-5 seasons consistently, and then we can start building up. But we need to get back to the Bill Mallory days, where he was not only just making bowl games, but where he was one game away from going to the Rose Bowl.
I mean, I'm down. But it's either chicken or the egg, whichever one was first, right? Like, it's either we're going to start getting results, people are going to come, or people are going to come and then we're going to start getting results. But something's got to go first. It can't just be this, what am I trying to say? Tug of war?
Yeah.
What is it? I'm completely losing the
Apparently.
Yeah. It can't be this, tussle between, all right, one thing's going to happen first, and then the other, side is waiting for, the football team's waiting for the fans to show up, and the fans are waiting for the football team to show up. Something has got to happen first. And either the fans got to start caring, or the football team's actually going to have to start getting results. Once one of those two things happen, the other thing will start happening, but something's got to happen first.
And I think it starts, I don't want to belabor on this part of the topic too much, but I think it starts with the seniors and the juniors at the school. Start coming to games. You've been to some games. You can see that IU is improving and they're getting better and they're starting to make bowl games, but just come to the games. There's only six home games usually during the year. It doesn't take too long. They do actually need to make the game shorter, but there's only six or so games during the year. You can get the entire season for $70 if you don't even get basketball tickets. And most people just get the basketball ticket. So you have the football ticket anyway. So just go to the game. And I think it starts at there at least. And Tom Allen is doing his job recruiting, and hopefully everything else can just start falling into place.
It is tug of war, right?
Yes. Okay. Matt's hurting himself way too much.
Yeah. All right. That awkward pause was me trying to figure out whether it was tug of rope or tug of war. My brain was going in three different directions.
Yes, it's so, tug of war. Okay. Apparently Matt didn't play too much of that when he was younger.
I'm sorry, guys. I got hit in the head one too many times. Anyways.
But, there's also another way that we could do this to where IU doesn't have three or four losses on their schedule.
Yes, we could change the divisions. There we go. Scripted at all.
I know, right? We could. And I mean, really, when you look at it, all joking aside, it really is hard for IU to actually do well every year, because in your divisions, if you haven't noticed at least the trend yet, that in your division, there's all right, Big Ten, you got 14 teams, 7 teams in each division, and got East and West. In your own division, you play each team once every season. So IU will play, they're in the East, they'll play Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan, Rutgers, and Maryland once every season. And then they'll play three teams from the other conference. Usually it's every year at Purdue is at least one of those teams. So then IU gets two other teams from the West division. When you look at, so I went back to do some research to see how the rankings basically and the standings go out between the entire Big Ten without putting any of the divisions. And I'm putting it ranking from 1 to 14 out of their entire career. So when schools started playing in 1890 or even before that. So you got four out of the top five in the entire Big Ten Conference are in the East Division. You got Michigan at number one, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State. Both have the best, all four out of those five teams have the best record out of the entire Big Ten, and they're all in the same side of the divisions. The only one that's smushed in there is actually Nebraska. Nebraska has the third best Big Ten record since the start of their existence, which at least people our age now wouldn't actually think that Rutgers or Nebraska was better than they have been recently. But and then also the top two in the entire, by a long shot, the top two teams out of the entire Big Ten, Michigan and Ohio State, are also both in our division.
That's true.
So just showing some of those stats right there. You got 4 out of 5 in one thing. So that means out of 6 games that IU plays in the Big Ten season, 4 out of those 5 are against those blue blood programs, which also, when you just think Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, you think football. Usually you think football first for all those schools. But I even went a little further just to see how these teams are faring, even in just the last 5 seasons, which is at least seasons that are more fresh in our memory, where 3 out of the 4 teams that have the best record in the last 5 seasons are from the East Division. 4 out of the top 6 are in the East Division. So it just shows how basically everyone, all of the good teams, except for a couple, are in the East Division. And there needs to be there doesn't need to be, but there should be at least a little change just to help even out the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Because you can't have four of the top six teams the last couple of years all in the same division. The other 3 teams are just going to be, fighting for 2 wins basically every year.
You want to know, I think this is an IU show. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Do you know who was in last place by a long shot with record in the last 5 seasons?
Rutgers?
No. Actually, Rutgers was even by far and away above the team in the last 5 years.
Is it Illinois?
No, not even Illinois.
Huh.
Except for last year. Purdue has been terrible at football in the last 5 years.
Oh, that's true.
So they posted. So you got Ohio State, who posted a 884% for their record, obviously, because they've lost like 5 games in the past 5 seasons. Then you got Purdue, who has a 0.262 record in the last 5 seasons.
Boiler up, as they say.
That's comparatively winning about 2 or 3 games a season, folks. And because even Illinois is over a point higher. They're 0.366 as their record the last 5 seasons. That just shows it's just a little jab at Purdue. It doesn't have to do with anything about what we're talking about.
Purdue cares about their football team. They should be much better than that. They also play in by far the easier division. And I don't want to hear any Purdue fans tell me otherwise. Like, by far. Like, the only really good team you have to play is Wisconsin. And I guess Nebraska's getting better with Frost being there. But even – and then Iowa's decent sometimes, but
– in and out, yeah. Iowa's in and out.
But Iowa's basically us if we were in the other division.
For the most part. They're a little better. Just because I think when they're good, they're like – they're in top 25, sometimes top 10 good.
Oh, I know. But that's because they win all their non-conference games, which we almost always win our non-conference games. And then they play Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue, and they have what? Now they have 7 wins, and they're 7-0. And then they play Wisconsin or Northwestern, and they probably lose to Wisconsin. They beat Northwestern. They got 1 loss. And then they play one of the big guys from the other side. And they give them a game. That would be us. That's exactly how we play everybody. We beat Minnesota. We'll beat Illinois. We'll beat Rutgers for the most part. We'll beat Maryland. We'll give Purdue and Illinois a game. And then we'll give Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all frights. That's what Iowa does. Iowa's that team. But Iowa's just on the other side of the conference. And then also because they win some and they get an easier schedule – they get better recruits, so they're a better team. I'm just arguing that we're the Iowa of the other division, but because, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State are all in our division, that it's impossible for us not to get 4 losses on our record.
Yeah, and Northwestern actually is only just a recent they're only doing well recently. Do you want to know who has the worst record out of the entire Big Ten for their all-time record?
I'm guessing it's Northwestern.
It is Northwestern, because I said that. But yeah, Northwestern they're even worse than Indiana in their all-time record at football, and that includes Indiana when they were first starting out, and they were not very good. Indiana historically is not very good at football. They are second to last by a pretty wide range from at least even Rutgers that's above us. But anyway, all right, so let's have some fun. Let's see if we can move some of these divisions around to where IU's not going to get four automatic losses, basically. So I think at least to do this, because when you think about it, they are doing East and West because of their placement across the country. You look at the East side, all of those teams are more or less closer to the East side of the country than they are the West. And it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't know how else you could explain it besides Purdue's basically the only one that's in the middle, more or less, that's on the West side. But I think for at least for our purposes, you got to take out the East and the West part. You can't keep doing the area of the country, because then you're just going to keep the same teams right there. Don't worry about where they reside. I think you got to go something like overall record. And I did a couple things that we can talk about. And I also think you also can't worry about rivalries, because I know they want to protect the Michigan-Michigan State, Michigan-Ohio State, all of these different rivalries. But IU and Purdue aren't in the same division. Sometimes people even forget that, but we just have a protected rivalry where IU plays Purdue every year. So it doesn't really matter with that part. What are some factors that you think will have to go into us just moving teams into another division?
I think Rutgers and Maryland should probably be in the same division, just because they're so far east that Rutgers and Maryland should be in the same division and opposite division from the likes of like Nebraska and Iowa, because they're so far west and they're so far east that traveling is going to be kind of hard. And like the time zone difference, especially for Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland, is like so much different that it's just kind of unfair if you put them in the same division they have to play every year. If they play, you know, because they're one of the three teams from the other division, that's fine. But they also just don't have a protected rivalry, so you just probably should keep them in two different divisions.
All right. Okay, so let's go with I put these teams into divisions literally by record. So like 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13 are all on the same division, and then same side for the even side. So just alternating everyone. I want to get your opinions on what you think the balanced level of these divisions would be. So on one side, we've got Michigan, Nebraska, Michigan State, Minnesota, Maryland, Illinois, and Indiana in all in one potential division. And on the other side, you got Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern. What are your thoughts if we just did overall record 1 through 14 alternating everyone?
I feel like that would work, but I feel like the division that we're in is now the easiest one, and we're trying to figure out because Iowa the fourth in the second division there?
Correct.
What would be the West?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, now they should be third in whatever division they're in, and you should probably flip them with somebody, but I don't know.
The only part is because you do have, I think by far and away, the top five best teams, at least, even if you discount Nebraska historically, just because I don't think they've been as dominant, at least nationally, as they have recently. You got Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. So I think we both can agree that those are the top five teams overall, at least from the Big Ten.
Yeah. Especially like overall historically, definitely.
Then you got basically next, it's Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota before it goes down to Maryland, Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers, Indiana, Northwestern kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you swap Nebraska and Iowa, and then that's all fixed.
Okay, I'll read that in a second, but I want to get your opinion on this as well. So I did, I basically added up so we can get even a little more recent history. So I added up their rankings from the last 5 years, and I combined them with their overall record, and then any tiebreakers I did were kind of bowl game appearances and how many wins they have during bowl games. So let me see what you think about this. You got on one side, you got Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland, Purdue, and Rutgers. Then you've got Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, and Indiana on the other side.
I like that one a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think that one's a lot more even.
Matt is that one's definitely thinking a lot more even. On that dead air.
Yeah, it's currently like festering in my brain. But yes, that's definitely a lot more even. I feel like we would actually have a chance to go 6-6, even if we were, you know, less than decent that year.
Because you still got, yeah, in our side, you still got Michigan, who's more or less always going to be very good. You got Wisconsin, who's more or less always going to be very good. You got Nebraska, who's at least recently kind of up and down with being either a top 25 team or out of it. But I guess most of the time, Nebraska's in the top 25. They're at least in that kind of conversation. So you got three of those kind of powerhouse teams. Then you got a decent team that they do decent usually every year with Minnesota. Northwestern, at least recently, has been doing very well. And then Illinois is Illinois. And then you got IU, because I think at least all of those teams you're able to play consecutively. And usually we don't get to play Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, Illinois every single year. We get to, like, you see those teams like once every 2 or 3 years, basically, compared to obviously what we just talked about with playing the other powerhouse teams. And then I think the other side, it balances out a little more. Maybe it might be a little top heavy and a little bottom heavy. Like we, like our side of the division might have more a level playing field, like in the middle, because they, the other side would have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and then it would go Iowa, Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers. So I guess maybe a little top heavy and then some more of the bottom teams if you put Purdue and Rutgers kind of down there, and Maryland to some extent. Maryland's kind of in our neck of the woods, I guess. But yeah, so you'd like that division a little more?
Yeah, I definitely like that division a lot more. But I also see the point of why Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are always together is because every time those teams play each other, it's a marquee game, and it's better for the conference. So if you're going to still have them play, but you're going to have them like kind of separated like they were, and that takes Michigan's three games from the other conference wouldn't it be Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State?
Yeah, either that, maybe not Penn State. I think they'd probably play Ohio State and Michigan State at least pretty frequently. I think their protected rivalry would be more Ohio State. Then I would feel like most years they'd play Michigan State, maybe those three teams in general. And it would also really give Michigan a good run for their money to show how deep they could be. But then maybe that third team they can play just bevy of Iowa, Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers, that kind of stuff. So,
I mean, and there's also always the chance that we could just do it like the Big 12 does it and just get rid of divisions and then just play, you know, nine teams. and just randomly every year, right? Because then there's some years that we could probably get, well, we always, sometimes there's years that we get Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. We play all five of those teams in a year.
Last year.
Yeah, it's like those are five automatic losses right there. But then there's also years where we could play, you know, only Michigan. And then we play Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, right? Like there's years that we could probably miss the big boys in the conference, which would be great for us. But I mean, we'll see.
All right. I think, yeah, I agree. I think, honestly, getting rid of the divisions would be nicer. I understand why they do it, I guess, for more of the East versus West Coast, just since now they have Rutgers and Maryland. Now we're almost, I mean, pretty close to the entire country that you span, basically, with how far Nebraska goes out. But at least I think we both might agree even that just getting rid of divisions would be nice. But if we were to redo the divisions, I guess the Hoosier Sound has finalized on Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland, Purdue, and Rutgers on one side. And then you got the other side with Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, and Indiana, leveling the playing field out a little bit. Obviously, this is never going to happen, or even if it did happen, it would never be anywhere close to what we just came up with. Just two guys. Talking to a podcast, but we just had a little fun. We got to get through the off season a little bit. We're getting closer. We're into about 50 or so days left until football kicks off. But that about wraps it up for our 44th show of The Hoosier Sound. Thank you all so much for joining us. Stay tuned through updates on Twitter at The Hoosier Sound. Subscribe to us on YouTube and visit our website, thehoosiersound.com, to find all of our information regarding our podcasts. As always, send us your questions as the audience, so be sure to comment, chat, or send us a message at contact@thehoosiersound.com on what questions you have, and we'll get them on our next episode. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. It really helps so that we can grow this podcast. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.